You're listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Messenger Insight. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host. As Hurricane Matthew devastated parts of the world, Oklahoma Baptist Disaster Relief Director Sam Porter was right in the mix and coordinating with other states about how we would respond. And he now joins us in this edition of Messenger Insight. Sam, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for asking me to be on.
Now, Hurricane Matthew had a devastating effect. We see news reports out of Haiti. We think of it coming up the East Coast. Talk about what happened. Talk about how Oklahoma Baptist Disaster Relief is getting involved.
Okay. Well, of course, Matthew is one of those long track hurricanes that kind of meandered out. And I saw it first in Aruba, and then I thought, well, it's going to go to the Gulf. And then it just turned and went straight north and went through Haiti to start with. And the last count, there's between 800 and 1,000 people died in Haiti, especially in the southwest area. And just so people know, Florida Baptist Convention has a ongoing partnership there, and they're taking the lead. I actually visited today with Baptist Global Response, Jeff Palmer, the executive director there, and even they are letting Florida take the lead in that, even though they have boots on the ground from Baptist Global Response. Right now, Oklahoma's not planning on doing anything unless we're asked to go there. Initially, we were asked to go to Florida. That's where they thought there would be the biggest, largest impact, and of course, that's the heaviest population on the even though it's southeast coast, that was the heaviest population. And they asked for 10 kitchens to be able to do 300,000 meals per day. But Matthew had a mind of his own. He hit Cape Canaveral, bounced back out in the water, and kept moving. Then we just stood and waited because they stood us down, went from 10 kitchens to only needing 4 kitchens, and those were all of those are shut down now already. It skirted Georgia. It went up to South Carolina, had a big impact in the southern part of Charleston, South Carolina, and then Myrtle Beach. But as it got on in there, it really hit the kind of the northeast part of South Carolina on the coast. But it really made its largest impact in North Carolina, in South Carolina. But anyway, it hit North Carolina. It was kind of the perfect storm, kind of like Sandy was a few years ago in 2012. It had been raining in that part of the United States anyway. The rivers were already full. They weren't at flood stage, but they were full. But then it dropped 15 inches of rain, and it arrived at high tide, and then there was like about a 5 to 7 foot storm surge. So that backed the rivers up for 100 miles interior North Carolina. And so they've had the worst flooding they've ever had in history. Just like about 8 weeks ago, Louisiana had the worst flooding they've ever had in history from just a rainstorm. So we just finished 6 weeks of deployment in Louisiana, particularly in Baton Rouge. So my counterpart, Galen Moss from North Carolina, called and said, we really need you guys immediately, if not sooner. And so they put us in the largest population of this impact, which is Greenville, North Carolina. And actually, Brian, we have been on deployment almost every day since November of 2015. An ice storm hit Oklahoma City the day after Thanksgiving and then the day after Christmas. And so we've just been almost nonstop. Our people are worn out. So we partnered with Arkansas, and everybody in our region is the same way. So we decided we'd go together and kind of share the load, and it's been a really great partnership. So they're arriving. We're filming this on Thursday afternoon, and they're arriving just about the time we're filming this in late afternoon.
Wow. Well, we've seen the devastation and hear reports. What exactly will be one of the main things they'll be doing there? Will it be the feeding?
Yes. You know, a lot of our chainsaw guys are kind of hungry to go do something, okay? Because we've had a lot of flooding going on. But with the massive flooding, that's really where feeding comes in to be a big area, because people's homes are totally obliterated. All the businesses are taken out. I mean, it is massive, massive flooding through Greenville. And actually, I heard this morning there's 10 rivers in North Carolina. All 10 of those rivers are at above flood stage, all 10 of them going out to the Atlantic Ocean. And so it is the big news right now. And so they've asked us in Arkansas to be ready to do 30,000 meals a day, which is no small task. That's about 2 semis full of food every day.
Wow.
And so they'll need mud out help later on, but right now the rivers are just now cresting in Greenville. And they say it will be at above flood stage until probably Saturday.
Wow. Well, you hit the nail on the head when you said we've been actively involved since that part of 15. But Sam, in your career here in ministry, you've about seen it all around the world, and you've seen devastation, natural disasters, just significant loss. And what amazes me is the message of hope you bring in all that. You know, I think about our trained volunteers and that how the love of God compels them and how they're really able to make a ministry contact. And some of our listeners may have heard, you know, they've seen us doing a chainsaw debris cleanup or flood removal. But what is that ministry encounter like when someone is really touched by what people are doing in service?
Well, it's kind of like when our volunteers go out, they know they're going to help people. They know they're going to make a huge difference in their life. But we have developed in the DNA of the disaster relief volunteer is that desire, that burning passion that someone will ask them, why do you do what you do? You know, I tell them to serve. Don't be just overly aggressive in sharing your faith. But you serve, and eventually those people will say, what are you getting paid? And they'll just kind of laugh and say, oh, we're just volunteers. And when the people realize that, then they go, why would you work so hard for nothing? They say, oh, it's not for nothing. And so then that's when I say they have earned the right to share the gospel. And all of our volunteers long for that to happen, and it happens on a regular basis. And so that's when I ask them just share your faith, share your testimony. And they'll share their testimony, and then they'll conclude that to say, has anything like this ever happened to you? And more times than not, they'll say, no, not exactly, but I've always wanted that to happen. And then they lead them, like in Louisiana, over 6 weeks period of time in Louisiana, there were 26 different state conventions responded there. We saw over 300 people in a 6 weeks period of time ask Jesus Christ to come to their heart in the debris of their flooded home.
Amen. That's
cool.
What it's all about.
That's
well,
right.
It's just the love of Christ shines through. Now, Sam, amid these busy schedules, the hurricane response, Baton Rouge, everything leading up, plans have been in the works for a major capital campaign related to Oklahoma Baptist disaster relief. And many have read about it in the Baptist Messenger, been to one of the events that you put on or talked about it in church. But for those who are unfamiliar or may have just heard a little bit, what is this capital campaign all about? What will it do?
Well, thanks for asking. I like to say we're 43 years old as Oklahoma Baptist Disaster Relief, and we still don't have our own house yet. we're housed in it was built in 1982 at the Boys Ranch Town campus up in on Southeast 33rd in Edmond, a 60-foot by 90-foot barn, metal warehouse, basically. And that was okay up until about the year 2000, when all we had was a semi and a child care trailer and a fifth-wheel trailer and then a box truck. And that housed all of that. But we have grown exponentially in the last several years. And so we really need a lot larger facility. And so I've dreamed and prayed and begged God for something for about 10 years. And so it finally has come to fruition. Lord has answered our prayers. And so the executive team and board of directors, they voted for us to start a capital campaign a few months ago. And so Marty Harkey, our chief developer, and I began moving on that the first week of June. And so we've up until now, and we need $2.75 million to obtain what we need to build, buy the property and everything. We now have about $2.4 million already in hand.
Praise God.
And so, and we really got the majority of that in the first 8 weeks. And so we kind of had a caveat and changed. It's part of our direction, but the Lord's allowed us to find a property with 17.1 acres just northwest of Oklahoma City on Highway 3 going out towards, it's actually between Piedmont and Okarchee. It already has a 16,000 square foot building on it. We're going to have to retrofit just one area of offices, and then we're going to build another 20,000 square foot building. And this will house all of our equipment. And I promise you, we'll fill it up because we have just grown in such a way. But in the 18 years I've been here, we've trained a little bit over now 8,000 volunteers on how to do disaster relief. And obviously, all of those aren't team members now. Some live in heaven, and some have gotten older or health will not let them serve, but we rotate, we add people every year.
Sam, that's awesome. Well, I love the vision of the team center. It's such a praise that God's provided so much of the resources, and I know He'll get us there the rest of the way. Sam, you're a busy man. I know you're coordinating a lot with the hurricane response and these capital campaigns. I would encourage everyone listening to this to go to okdisasterhelp.org. Download the brochure about the capital campaign. It's not too late to get involved. Tell your neighbor about it. And as always, that's a great way to get updates about what DR is doing. And Sam, you are excellent at keeping everybody in the know so they can be praying. What else could we talk about today?
Well, I want to tell you what the acronym Team Center stands for.
Okay.
It's because we were trying to figure out what we would call it, you know, even about almost a year and a half ago. The Team Center stands for Training, Equipment, and Mobilization. It's where we'll do some training, we'll house most of our equipment there, and then we'll rally there. And that's where we'll respond from. We'll mobilize from there to go wherever God leads us. And, of course, you and I both have talked about this. Just this year, we have gone almost from the North Pole to the Gulf of Mexico and now to the Atlantic Ocean, all wow. in response this year because we were in Canada, we did the South Texas floods, and now we're on the East Coast.
All of that, serving in the name of Christ, it's awesome. We've been talking to Sam Porter, who's Disaster Relief Director with the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. Sam, thank you for all you do. I thought you could wrap up our show by praying for the people, the storm victims of Hurricane Matthew, and praying for our volunteers and close us out that way, if
okay.
you'd be willing.
Thank you. I'd be honored. Father, we love you today. Thank you for leading Laddie Adams 43 years ago to develop disaster relief in Oklahoma and through our Baptist General Commission of Oklahoma. And I thank you for the literally thousands of volunteers that have passed through and those that are still now committed and serving today. I pray especially for those that are in Greenville that are just arriving even as we're recording this today, and that they're going to be working extremely hard of what I like to say, they've been putting themselves in the offering plate to serve you and serve others. I pray you'll give them strength and endurance, and I pray that their service will be able to impact the thousands of people there in North Carolina that are truly struggling. They've lost so much. They've even had loss of life up until now, 20 that we know of. And be with those that have lost their loved ones and lost their property. And Lord, I pray that our people will be able to really be able to communicate to them that you can lose lots of stuff, but to lose your soul and your life and eternal life is really the ultimate loss. And I pray you help them to communicate that message to those in need, and pray that you'll meet all the needs of those up and down the East Coast and all the way down to Haiti as well.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, find us in the iTunes Store or visit us at baptistmessenger.com.